Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
All right, so I told you guys I'd get to introduce you to my guests up here, which I'm just beyond excited that they were willing to come up here. So something that CIU has done this year, which I'm really excited about, is we've decided to start recognizing more recent alumni that are out in the community, locally, globally, really making an impact in their sphere of influence. So whether that's the church, the marketplace, ministry, missions, they're standing out in some way, shape, or form. And the coolest thing about these nominees, there are five of the 12 up here. There's 12 of them, and they're nominated by their peers. They're nominated by you guys, faculty, professors, and staff. So really representing you up to 12 years down the road. So recent graduates are anyone that graduated in the last 12 years. These nominees have been chosen for the award this year. We'll recognize another 12 next year. But what I'm going to do is give them a chance to, will you pass that down to Marcella, to introduce themselves to you, to tell them their names, what year they graduated, what they studied while they were here, and what they do now. So, Chaplain Arrington, will you go first?
Hi, my name is Drew Arrington, and I am a graduate of the seminary in 2005. I had an MDiv in pastoral counseling while I was there. And I am currently an Army chaplain serving at Fort Jackson, and I train ministers to become Army chaplains. So when you graduate seminary, get some pastoral experience, you want to go to the Army as a chaplain, you'll come through the course that I help run.
Awesome. Good morning, everyone. My name is Chaplain Marcella Wilson, and I graduated back in 2011 here under the Pastoral Counseling Program. And I am currently now the CEO of a nonprofit organization called Loveline Outreach Ministry for at-risk youth.
I'm Sarah Nixon, and I came in 2006 and graduated with my undergrad degree in youth ministry in 2009, and then stayed an extra year and did the master's in Bible teaching. And I currently teach high school Bible in Macon, Georgia, to the best 9th and 10th graders in the world.
My name's Beach Loveland, class of 2009. I was a family and church education major under Dr. Terry Powell. I'm currently the owner and operator of Loveland Coffee and Loveland Coffee Roasters. We roast coffee. Some of you have enjoyed it down over at Grace Coffee. We do all the roasting for them. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for Matt, and they're doing a great job down there.
Hey, my name is Nathan Aylstock. I graduated in the undergrad in 2003. And then in the grad school seminary in 2007. And in undergrad, I was a youth ministry major. And now I get to teach Bible to 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, and then also teach a middle school boys shop class, which is a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. I'm glad you're here. It's good to be back. I think sometimes when you're going through worship, you can get into it and it feels good. So this is just a conversation time. It's a time for me to ask questions that I've asked you guys. Hey, if you wanted to ask, if you could talk to recent alumni, entrepreneurs, chaplains, people that run nonprofits, what would you ask them? So this time is really your guys' questions back to them. The first one that we're going to start with, and y'all can pass the microphone down wherever. And also, I'm sorry, I should have said this sooner. This is just a touch. Their life stories and their work and their ministry is huge. It's nothing that we can push into 20 minutes of chapel time. So afterwards, grab them, talk to them. We're going to be over in the cafeteria for lunch. Take the time, get to know their story, their work. They want to give back to you. That's the whole reason they're here. So keep that in mind. With that, the first question we have for you guys is, what is the most important thing that you took away from CIU? Nathan and Beach, I think you guys wanted to touch on this.
Well, there's a lot of great things that come out of CIU, but kind of reflecting back on my time here was really just to focus on being present in what you're doing here. A lot of times we kind of think of our studies here as a kind of a preamble to our next ministry opportunity or what we really want to do. But I've had to kind of learn this lesson several times over my life to kind of take a deep breath, be present in what's going on currently, and allow God to let that wash over you day in and day out, and not be looking too much to hurry up and get through what you need to do now so you can be prepared for the future, but just take it in and let it really soak in. Otherwise, you have to, like me, repeat a lot of the same lessons again over life. So that would probably be my biggest takeaway and advice for anyone who's willing to take it amidst your busy studies here. So,
For me, I would say that to be able to be equipped by a university that is founded on such solid biblical principles in a world, in a culture that is changing drastically day by day, where you don't know what is true from one thing to the next, but a university is founded on the Word of God, and we got to learn underneath some of the best professors, Bible teachers that there are. And that is something that, as I teach Bible, that I constantly remember. And I grab my notes from back in early 2000s from my Old Testament survey class, from Dr. Lehman and all that, that I get to take out, that I get to help aid in my lesson planning today. So just that biblical foundation is such an important thing, that takeaway for me.
Awesome. So foundational, moving out of college, what's the biggest thing that you did that helped you get a job out of college? So what's something you did, whether it was senior year or junior year, that you felt helped you get a job out of college?
I think the biggest thing is just engage, you know, get involved doing something. Locate what your passions and talents are and find a place. I did that here at CIU. I kind of already knew what I wanted to do, but plugged in through the field labs into ministries out at Fort Jackson. And then, you know, just find those places that match up with what you're gifted and talented in. And then listen. Listen to the people around you. You know, that's the reason why I'm in uniform, is I was out engaging in a event, and a chaplain spoke to me. And, you know, I actually, after three times of telling them, no, stop, I actually said, okay, fine, sir, tell me what you want to tell me about being an Army chaplain. And then taking the time just to reflect, to think about the experiences you've had, prayerfully reflect on those, and just allow God to work as he talks to you through other people.
I think the biggest thing that allowed me to move from CIU into the community was my student loans. I had to find a job, and I became very creative, because while I was in the master's program, I resigned from my district job as a media assistant for Blythewood High School, and I started baking. My father was a master chef in the military, so I knew how to cook. So I baked cookies and things on the side. So when I left CIU, I wasn't exactly sure where I needed to be in reference to pastoral counseling. So I started baking cookies and selling cookies, and I found myself deep within the community. And I met business owners and ended up meeting an elderly lady that had a nonprofit organization, and she was struggling with the nonprofit organization, and she bought cookies from me several times and decided, you know what, I think you have the personality and the disposition to go into the community and really network. And so once I finally gave myself the opportunity to meet with her, it was a nonprofit organization geared to at-risk children, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. The Lord just resonated in me in reference to my pastoral counseling skills, my internship at DJJ, and I was able to take the nonprofit organization and mold it into something in reference to what God would want me to do in ministry for at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Sarah, would you talk a little bit about what the process looked like of kind of figuring out what you wanted to do after college?
So I came in pretty sure I was going to do youth ministry. I mean, I picked CIU because the youth ministry program here is really great, and it is, and wonderful. And I started looming towards graduation and had no idea what I was going to do. And then I had to take Dr. Cooper's Bible for Teachers class. And I sat in her class, and she talked about how the Bible changes lives. And I remember weeping. I'm a crier. And I was like weeping, because I was like, at CIU, I saw the Bible change my life, and I wanted that to be true of students. And Bible teaching is really great. A little plug for it, because you get to see your students all the time. And it's wonderful, and I highly recommend it. There are fields white for harvest. And if you are wondering if you want to go somewhere that you can impact people, and see them fall in love with the Jesus that has loved you, I would recommend teaching with all of my heart. But anyway, so clearly I started to feel just emotionally, my heart stirred, and just practically saw that my giftings were suited towards teaching. Started teaching, love it. It is absolutely the place where I'm supposed to be. But it's okay if you go out and you don't have a clue what you're gonna do. Like, my plan was, if I don't get a job Bible teaching, I'm gonna go work at a Waffle House. That was like my plan. I was like, okay, I'm gonna move home, work at Waffle House. I like Waffle House. That was actually my plan. So I think sometimes after doing Bible teaching, this is my eighth year teaching, you know, there's part of me that's like, maybe I'm supposed to do something else. Maybe I'm supposed to go somewhere else. And that's okay. Life is really long. And you don't have to have it figured out. And so it's okay if you don't know. It's okay if you're sitting there going, I have no idea where I'm going to go next. Just Psalms talks about dwelling in the land and befriending faithfulness. I think it's Psalm 34, right? And so wherever you are, I know some of you, this is a very present issue for you. And you need to hear today that you are called to dwell where God has put you and to befriend faithfulness. And if you do that, then wherever you go, you're going to say, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be, where the Lord has planted me.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Sarah. Beach, will you speak a little bit into kind of your journey after college? Because you didn't get out of college, start a successful business the next week. What did that process journey look like?
Yeah, that process was very involved. I came to CIU as an older student, so I came in 2005. I was already 25 at that time, and I had a pretty good idea where I wanted to be. I knew I had a passion for community. I knew I had a passion for people. I also knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur and serve my community. So I kind of came here to use CIU to get the biblical foundation that I wanted to be able to serve those people the best. So I kind of made CIU work for me to give me the tools I needed. So I was just preparing. So I wanted to start a coffee shop. I realized that before I came here, and I wanted to be involved in the community. So everything I was doing was working towards that. After I graduated, and again, going back to what Sarah was talking about, it's a process. I didn't graduate CIU and step right into a coffee shop. I had to step right into a job that I didn't want to be at. And it stretched me a lot, but I had, the whole time my focus was I wanted to do coffee. So I had a side hustle. I was selling coffee out of my office to my coworkers. I was secretly putting together my plans and testing things out and doing this and that. And later we were, I don't know if this was kind of to the question, but as far as getting funding and stuff like that, after it really got serious, and this was the first part when Kickstarter came about in the early 2000s, we started a Kickstarter campaign. And that was kind of my next jump. We did that in the summer of 2012. We were able to raise the amount of money that we needed. In addition to being financially conservative and saving money, we were able to, me and my wife, finish CIU debt-free. So it starts with a personal discipline to be able to, this is a goal, and your money dictates where your heart wants to be. So if you want to be in business, be prepared to live off, you know, not much means, but starting there and then setting your goals, and then we were able to supplement what we had already stacked up through Kickstarter. And it was a great way to touch base with our community and saying, hey, we're going to do this. We want to invest in you. And in turn, they invested in us. And that's kind of been our business model going forward, is to work with like-minded individuals and people in the community out there working their face off. And we come alongside them and encourage them. We come alongside them with the work ethic that I learned here. And believe me, I learned some work ethic here. But yeah, so all those that being said, I want to encourage you, if you have a dream, if you have a passion, to listen to that. God's put it there in your heart. And a lot of people are going to tell you a lot of different things of what you should be doing. And you need to stay true to what's been placed in your heart and just go after it. Take godly wisdom, but honestly, it's given to you for a reason, and only you can do it the way you've been called to. So I'd be happy to talk further with any of you at lunchtime about that. Very passionate about that.
Mm-hmm. And very good at it. So one of the neat things about Beach and learning his story is that he's got a for-profit company, but he is just in the community and giving and loving and serving. And Marcella, will you speak a little bit into kind of the nonprofit funding? You've got the title for a nonprofit, but just some of the struggles that come with, I mean, a nonprofit's not easy.
Oh, yes, it's not easy. I really didn't understand what I was taking on when it was presented to me, so I had to do a lot of research. Mm-hmm. And I got a couple mentors to help me with it. I took over the nonprofit with no money. So God just made it in such a way that my cookie business was doing so well that I could donate a certain percentage of my cookie business into the nonprofit. So when I do fundraisers or I'm invited somewhere, I take the money from the cookie business and I donate it into the nonprofit. But I'm still learning. I have been going to the state library, and there's an excellent lady there who knows all about funding and grants and endorsers. So I'm still learning, you know. My profits are basically, I would say, about 20% of my cookie business into my nonprofit. And for those who do donate money, there are members in the community that I have connected with. So I'm in the process of trying to get to know church leaders in the community and others who would be interested in basically helping me mentor at-risk children. But it is a struggle, so I'm learning as I go. So if there's anyone out there that can help me in reference to knowledge of a nonprofit, I'd be more than happy to sit and talk with them.
We're learning. I appreciate your guys' just transparency with where, I mean, you're not there yet, but you're getting towards where you want to be, and that's huge. Drew and Nathan, will you guys just share a little bit, what was one of the hardest things about life after college that you just weren't quite anticipating, didn't see coming? Nathan?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Ministry's messy. It's hard. And there's times where people will sugarcoat it and look at just the victories, and you know, they'll post the pictures on social media or whatever of just the beautiful moments, and those beautiful moments do happen. But guys, it's hard, and there's times where you want to throw the towel in and be done and say, God, send somebody else, because I cannot deal with it anymore. It's hard. There's lots of tears that my wife and I had. There's lots of prayers that my ministry partners and I, we've had. But God is faithful. And we are all sinners trying to lead other sinners to know a sinless God. And so because of that, ministry's hard. It's messy. And there are times where I know my wife and I pray that the Lord would take us from a ministry. But we both just knew that God still had plans for us there. And so because of that, we wanted to remain faithful wherever God was calling us. As a teacher, I get the privilege of having student teachers, some of you guys in my classroom, to help assist you guys, especially if you're in the Bible teaching program, to help give you an opportunity to serve. And one of my first student teachers referred to a quote from Mary Faith Phillips, and she said that God does not call the equipped, but God equips the called. And because of that, that is something that I have by my desk, because I have to remember that I'm not equipped for everything out there. There's still some things that I just don't remember. But God has called me there, and God's going to sustain me, and God's faithful. He's never going to leave me alone, even in those hard times. And he's going to stretch me, and he's going to grow me, and he has surrounded. God has given me such great ministry partners, friends that I co-labor with, that I get to struggle alongside with and share victories. And God doesn't always give us the glimpse of the fruit of our labor. At least not me, which is probably good, because I don't need to see the fruit of my labor all the time, you know. But I do get to see some students that I've taught years ago grow up and now become fathers and mothers and teachers and youth pastors and all that. And that's nothing that I did. That's only what the Lord did. But don't give up. Satan wants us to give up, y'all. He does not want us to continue on. So when that ministry is hard, when that person is hard to love, whew, don't give up. Keep going, because that's what the Lord wants us to do.
Real talk. I like it.
Yeah, so I'm an introvert.
Tell us about that.
So I grew up in Columbus, Georgia. I lived in the same house all my life. I pretty much grew up on one city block, going to school and church in that same city block. And so it's really hard for me. Well, I grew up going to small schools, small schools where, high school, the largest class I had was 25. There were less than 100 in my graduating class, and some of you might resonate with that. I then went to a small college before attending graduate school here. And everywhere I went, it was small. And then being an introvert, I did not have a ton of friends. And then after college, I moved away out of the country for 2 years. And I come back to CIU to attend school, and I know nobody. And all my friends are mostly in one geographical area around Atlanta, and that's where they are, and their lives have moved on. And so it was really hard for me. That was the biggest challenge after college, was with friends. You grow up in a small-knit community. You go to college that's small and close-knit, and then all of a sudden, you're thousands of miles away from anybody you ever knew in your life. And then you're coming back into the United States, and you realize that you're now in a community where there's nobody that you know. And it's a big challenge, especially if you move throughout your careers, if you change mission fields, you're going to always be in that position where you're there meeting new people. And so that was probably the hardest challenge for me, realizing the importance of friends and the challenge that it is to make friends when you are moving so constantly.
All right, and then I think this might be the last question for now, and I'd like each of you guys to speak on this. What advice would you give to us, younger people, just getting ready to make it, getting ready to go out, current students? What advice would you give?
I would say pray about your calling first and just ask God to give you revelation in reference to where it is that he would want you to be placed. And the reason why I say that is because although I was selling cookies to make extra money to pay for my student loans, it actually placed me in the community. Mm-hmm. And I remember Dr. Larkin, in one particular class setting, he told us to go into the community, learn about the people who are different than yourself, the ethnicity in the mm-hmm. community. Go into the community, visit the different churches. And I remember him saying that when I'd go up and down the highways at North Main, Farrell Road, Monticello Road, selling cookies in barbershops and beauty shops, saying, get to learn the people in your community because you'll find out where your call is once you go out into the community. Mm-hmm. So if I had any advice to give you is to, while you're on campus, don't get so engrossed in your studies and your finals. Look at the individuals around you. They're from different communities, even outside of the United States. Get to know them, get to know their culture, and find out where there are churches in the community that are worshiping God, and find out where is it that you can plug in, whether it's with youth or seniors or even in the prison, because I did my internship mm-hmm. at DJJ. So that's why I feel like once you go into the community and work the ministry, God is going to reveal to you where he wants you to be.
That's great.
I would say that for those of you who are still trying to figure out, like what Marcel was saying about just your calling and stuff, get out there and have fun. Go work at a camp. That's one thing that I loved one summer was I worked at a Ridgecrest camp for boys. It's a camp up in Asheville, and I was a camp pastor for my internship, and I loved it. And that's something that I will never forget. Go work in a church. Go hang out with teachers in a classroom. Figure out what you're passionate about, and go get experience. Don't wait until you graduate. Enjoy that process now before you have to actually start a career, or if you've already started your career, when you have time, go out and have fun and gain other experiences so that the Lord can use that to direct your paths so that you'll know exactly where maybe the Lord's calling you.
To this day, I still work at a summer camp. They have a table today in the student center, so go check them out. Camp Blue Crest, highly recommend it. My advice would be what I needed to hear when I was your age. Which is, you're an idiot. You are, and I was, and there's nothing more I needed to hear. It's just true, still am. But One thing that I did that I highly recommend you do right after college, the Lord really did this for me after my first 2 years of teaching. He placed me in a small group where it's me and four other ladies who are in their late 50s and early 60s. And that has probably been one of the most beneficial things for me. And sitting with them every week has taught me this, that there is probably something in my life that I'm blind to. That they're going to tell me, and my first reaction is going to be defensive. And your professor is going to tell you something, and your friends are going to tell you things, and probably you're going to have multiple friends tell it to you, and you're going to say, no, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong, if you're anything like me. And I would just challenge you what I needed here, which is let your first response not be defensiveness. Let it just be, okay, I'm going to trust that you know the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to trust that it's probably more likely that I'm the one who's not listening and all of these other 10 people are, rather than only I am left as a prophet, you know? And if you are in that place where someone's correcting you, and they will be at some point, whether it's now or in the future, have the humility to say, okay, you know what? They are probably right, and I am probably wrong. And if you do that, then I think it will go a lot better for you than it did for me in many situations. So I think there's lots of things I could say to myself, but I think as I prayed about it on the drive here, that's what I wish someone had told me. I think someone needs to hear that today. So be teachable.
Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead. You guys are getting great tools here for your success. I know it's a struggle sometimes to see it. It's a struggle sometimes to apply it, to feel it. It's real. They're pushing into you, so when it comes time and you're leaving, someone else is pushing on you, the good stuff is going to come out. So if you have aspirations for ministry, if you have aspirations to be an entrepreneur, to start a business, it starts now. You're the only person in your way. If you think you can't do it, you're not going to do it. It's an everyday process. You wake up every day, and you have to know you can do it. And the good thing is that you have the Holy Spirit to remind you that He's put something in you, a passion, a desire, and it starts with you waking up with that every day. This is something me and my wife have to talk about every day, that we have to have our mindsets correct. You have to go out into your community knowing God has something for you there. So it starts in your mind when you wake up in the morning, and it starts where you're at every day. Your ministry isn't some secret file locked in a filing cabinet somewhere that God maybe one day might show you. It starts when you wake up and you look around and He reveals it to you. So my advice is start where you're at now. Maybe it's your roommate. Maybe it's someone you work with off campus. Maybe it's just you walking around being more open to what the Holy Spirit has for you. But when you pay attention, it reveals itself. And your path in life is a lot easier when you have that type of mindset, because it's not, you know, a secret place that might be revealed. It's being revealed to you every day. And it's really freeing when you get there. And believe me, it's something I'm still working on. I miss it every day, but I want to find it. So it's a mindset of wanting to find what God has for you day in and day out. And for me, I've been able to find it through my small little drive-through kiosk every day with a 2.5-minute conversation with someone over 6 months. And now I have customers that are pouring into me. So be encouraged.
I would say enjoy your 8 a.m. classes. You'll never be able to sleep in that late again. No, seriously.
How many
day starts
have?
At 4:20.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy your 8 a.m. class. Now, on a bit more serious note, you know, life, as several of the people up here on the panel have said, is full of challenges, and ministry isn't easy. And when it does get challenging, both personally and professionally, it's those friends that I talked about that are hard to make when you're moving all the time that are critically important. Mm. Those friends that encourage you with the gospel. It's not only those friends. You sang some great songs here this morning, but there are also great hymns of the faith that can really keep you afloat and keep you connected with the true and living God in the moments when around you doesn't feel much like life and doesn't feel much worth living. And then I'd also say, too, the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are a great repository of the emotional life cycle of the nation of Israel and of her kings. And if you take time to know, start with a psalm. Just pick one. I guarantee you, later in life, you'll be glad that you memorized it. And then just continue to memorize them because they do provide comfort when comfort is hard to find.
Thanks for sharing. Wow, can you guys just thank them with me? That was good. Life on life, guys. We're passionate here about CAU for preparing you for not just this season of life, but what's next. So I hope you guys take time at lunch today to come find us. We're going to be in Rikard, and they'll be here for a few minutes after chapel. But take the time. Say thank you. Introduce yourself. It starts now. Your life and preparation starts now. So one more time, thank you, and you guys are dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.